हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 106. Verses 25-26. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Prahlad Maharaj's classmates may question, if Dharma, Artha, and Kama are not the goals of human life, why have the two sons of Sukracharya said that these are prescribed in the Vedas? Knowledge of Atma, Iksha, knowledge of Karma, Trayi, argumentation and administering justice, Nyaya Dhammao, and the various occupations, Varta, all of these I consider to be stated in the Vedas, Nigamasya. I do not criticize them, since they are approved for suitable persons. What is beneficial for the saintly, Satyam, is surrendered to the Supreme Lord, offering the self as the possession of the Lord. Right. So, they may say, as if they're not the goal, why have they prescribed them? Right? So then, Prahlad Maharaj is then saying that you have all these various things, and he doesn't criticize them. He's not criticizing the fall practicing the Vedas. What he's criticizing is practicing the Vedas with a desire for sense gratification. Right? That's the whole point. It means the Shastras that deal with all these things that we may categorize into Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, then they have their position. But the people who use them for sense gratification, that's the problem. Right? So he's not criticizing that. And for particular persons in certain situations, they're quite applicable. Right? But the saintly persons, then surrendering everything to the Lord, that's the suitable point. Right? In that surrender, if they're using these aspects of the Shastras, that's just the medium that's being used. But it's not about the medium. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. It's not about that, it's about what you're saying. Sridhar Swami gives the following meaning. I consider that all of these goals are factually proclaimed in the Vedas concerned with the three gunas, Nigamasya, and the Vedas beyond the gunas proclaim surrender to the Lord. The Lord says, Trigunya Vishaya Veda, Nishtrigunyo Bhavarjuna. O Arjuna, the Vedas deal with the three gunas, but be transcendental to the three gunas. Bhagavad Gita 2:45. Srila Prabhupada adds, any education or activity not on the Brahma-Bhuta platform, the platform of self-realization, is considered to be material. And Prahlad Maharaj says that anything material cannot be the absolute truth, for the absolute truth is on the spiritual platform. The ultimate goal of life is to stay on the spiritual platform, fully surrendered to the Paramapurusha, the Supreme Person. This is the object of human mission. In summary, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies and injunctions are not to be discounted. They are means of being promoted to the spiritual platform. But if one does not come to the spiritual platform, the Vedic ceremonies are simply a waste of time. Right? It's like saying, the bus is all right, you know, you want to get to the temple, and the bus goes that way, you get on the bus, you get to the temple. But if by getting on the bus you don't end up at the temple, you end up in Atlantic City, then we have a problem. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole thing. What we have to work out is that Yes, we're using the what the Vedas proclaim. They're talking about in the modes of nature. Because Maya, then, when she controls things, she does it through the modes of nature. So the mechanics are carried out by the modes of nature. Now, someone interested in sense gratification is controlled by those modes. But someone not interested in sense gratification is not controlled by the modes. He's engaging it in Krishna's service. Does that make sense? Things here mechanically work by the modes of nature. That's the mechanics of it. Right? But the whole point is the apara vidya, the knowledges, the activities themselves, the results that they gain, those are all controlled by the modes of nature. Because that's how things work here. But the point is why are you using these particular things? That's where the actual point is. Does that make sense? Yes.
Although Prahlad Maharaj is not against Veda or his teachers,
yes,
he, it appears if he challenges them and his father,
right,
ultimate authority.
Yes.
So there's a conflict in that.
Yes. Because he's saying that sense gratification is not the purpose of this knowledge that they're giving. So they're giving this knowledge and saying its purpose is Dharma Artha Kama. Mm. While he's saying, no, this knowledge, its purpose is bhakti. So because of this difference, you know, in other words, his father and these Brahmins are situated in passion, right? But he's situated in pure goodness. So there's a problem. And so then, and the demigods are in goodness, so then he's seen to be siding with the enemies. Right, and Vishnu is in pure goodness, so definitely he's siding with the enemy. You know. So it's a very subtle point, because we'll take it, then it means this. It's just like we were discussing that I think it's Jarabaris discussing. Prahlad Maharaj says the same thing. But I think more details there in Jarabhara, so this being referred to again with Prahlad Maharaj, that the mind is the central aspect through which one is controlled by the modes of nature. Right? In other words, Maya, we have to remember, he says, oh, the mind wants this, the mind wants that, but we have to remember, mind is dead matter. Mind actually couldn't care less. You know what I'm saying? You know, so what your mind wants and what the stone sitting next to you wants is about the same. Right? But the mind is the instrument through which Maya controls us through the modes. Right? And why are we able to be controlled? Because we want to enjoy. Right? So if you want to serve Krishna, that's one thing. If you don't want to serve Krishna, you want to enjoy, that's another thing, that's material. So therefore, for the material to take effect, that has to be applied. So that application is the modes of nature. Right? So that will function through the mind. Does that make sense? That's why it said we have to control the mind. Right? So controlling it with intelligence, then we won't be controlled by the modes. We can engage the modes, but we're not controlled by them. Right? It doesn't change. It's just like, let's say, you have the parent who they're controlling the kid, or the parent who's controlled by the kid. Right? Does this make sense? So the point is, but the interaction will be the same. But it's a matter of how you say, what is the intent of the whole process? Does this make sense? Yes.
But in situating ourselves in proper identity that I'm servant of Krishna.
Yes. Yes. In that term, then you can take advantage of the intelligence, and from that, then you can take advantage of controlling the mind.
So then, when we establish ourselves in proper identity, will that align with the Ichha Shakti of Krishna?
Yes, because the point is Krishna's, his desires is the interaction between him and the devotees. Understand? But what's being used for expressing that devotion between the lords and devotees, that's the facilities created by the Icha and Kriya Shaktis. Jnana and Kriya Shaktis. You understand? But, so therefore, since we think I am the Icha potency, then we think then the Kriya and Jnana should be used for us. That's Maya. Right? So it's not that the Kriya and Jnana change. They're the same, but the point is, use them for yourself, then it takes on the form of Mahamaya. Use it for Krishna, it takes on the form of Yogamaya. You know what I'm saying? Like the father, he uses the car, goes to work, drives the family around safely, everything goes very nicely. You know, he's seen as respectable, all these different things happen. But the teenage kids and his friends get a hold of the car, and then it's a whole different thing. It's not safe anymore. People criticize the family, all these different things, so many things come up. But how the car functions is the same. Right? You still turn the steering wheel, push on the pedals, you know, like that. That doesn't change. You turn the wheel to the right, the car goes right. You turn it left, it goes left. You push the brake, it stops. You push the gas, it goes. That won't change. But the difference is between whether you're following the rules or whether you're breaking the rules. In a sense, that's the whole point. Is Krishna's energy, how it functions, stays the same. You use it properly. You're not controlled by the modes, right? You understand? Let's say it's a fast car. The kids are controlled by that fastness. They have to drive fast because the car can do it. Yes.
Still, I have a doubt about mind and intelligence.
Yes.
Because originally, mind is in a higher mode than the intelligence is.
That's what it's created from. It's not that the mind itself is that it. The mind springs from the mode of goodness.
Yeah.
The intelligence from passion.
Right.
Because it's active. It does things. While the identity comes from ignorance. Right.
But then to bring the mind back to goodness, we use the intelligence. So this doesn't somehow...
No, but are we using material intelligence?
No.
We're using spiritual intelligence.
Yes.
So then that's transcendental.
Okay.
Right? Just like, how do we access the spiritual intelligence? By spiritual identity. When that's there, then we're on the transcendental platform. Then we can use the spiritual intelligence, then that makes spiritual mind, that spiritualizes the senses, then that spiritualizes whatever we're using and stuff like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So the range of choices we take from, it's all spiritual. This is where the spiritual intelligence is working.
Yes, because if we're a servant of Krishna, then we want to do things favorable towards Krishna, right? Without karma or jnana.
Right.
And so that means then it will be from what's recommended by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, but even we're a materialist, if we're intelligent, we'll follow the scriptures, because then, at least in the mode of goodness, it will be the better option. But still it will bind us. It still is useless, just like Prabhupada says here. We don't have a problem with the Vedic recommendations as long as it gets you to Krishna. But if you don't use them to get you to Krishna, then they're a waste of time. Okay. So, yes. Okay. Pladmar's continued. Right? So that means, okay. In summary, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies and injunctions are not to be discounted. We take it that, they're wasted time, so we discount them. No, they're not to be discounted. They are means of being promoted to the spiritual platform. But if one does not come to the spiritual platform, the Vedic ceremonies are simply a waste of time. So if the Vedic ceremonies are a waste of time because it didn't get to Krishna, how much more of a waste of time is anything not Vedic? You know? That's like saying if you have a lakh of rupees and don't use it for Krishna, then it's a waste of time. So now, let's say I have, but I'm not in that category because I just wasted my time with 10,000 rupees, not a lakh, so it doesn't include me, that statement. So that's the whole point. When it says Dharma, and that's a waste of time, that means it's already included Artha and Kama. Already. And if you take it from the broader sense, then it also includes Mukti.
Yes. So this is the famous Sarva Dharma Parita Javras.
Yes.
And the, everything yes. below that, it's...
Yes, yeah, just out. So because the point, if you have Dharma, the others will come. But the point is, if Dharma is not used for Krishna, then it's a waste of time. So here, it's not that I'm using Dharma and then I'm offering it to Krishna. I want to serve Krishna. What situation am I in? I happen to be in this body. This body has a particular nature, it has a particular intelligence, mind, you know, like this. I engage that in Krishna's service. So that's the meaning of Sarva Dharma. But a lot of times it's taught, oh, we just throw it out. You know? So that's, you know, that's what I heard was the difficulty with us in, I'm not sure if it was Indonesia or Singapore or something, where the when, you know, we came along, we're new. So then the Hindus that are there, which are smartest, then the whoever was the, you know, government offices asked about us. And they had read our Gita, because there's so much evidence on the in Sarvadharma Pratitya. They were taking it, they were thinking, we're saying we're throwing out religion. So they're saying, no, they're not Hindu, they're not religious, they're not following what we say. You know, and we're saying, no, we're coming from the Vedic tradition. And then these smartest say, we're not. Because they don't understand themselves, the verse.
Yeah,
and so, therefore, then the government said, okay, you can't come into the country.
Yeah, Singapore.
Yeah, Singapore.
Still, you can't go.
Yeah, yeah. Nepal was the same before. It means they'll let us come in because of all the, you know, the things like that, but they won't let us register. As far as I know, we're not registered in Nepal. Because in their mind, only, you know, only smartas can be. So they're not going to let probably any Vaishnavas, you know, probably the Shris, the Madhvas can't register either. You know, like that. Okay. Yeah.
What is the difference between and similarity between Dharma and Krishna conscious activities?
What's the similarity between Dharma and Krishna conscious activities?
Difference between.
Means we use the recommendations of Dharma to serve Krishna. So that's the connection. So if it's used to serve Krishna, then it's valuable. If it's not, it's just a, it's a pleasant waste of time. Right? But if you use passion, then it's a, you know, a real waste of time. And if you use ignorance, it's disgustingly a waste of time. You understand? That's the, okay? Prahlad Maharaj continued. Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the well-wisher and friend of all living entities, formally explained this transcendental knowledge to the great saint Narada. Such knowledge is extremely difficult to understand without the mercy of a saintly person like Narada. But everyone who has taken shelter of Narada's disciplic succession can understand this confidential knowledge. Srila Prabhupada comments. Prahlad Maharaj wanted to impress upon the sons of the demons that although such knowledge can be understood only by a saintly person like Narada, they should not be disappointed. For if one takes shelter of Narada instead of material teachers, this knowledge is possible to understand. So anybody can understand. If you take shelter of the Sampradaya and hear from the authorities, then anybody can understand it. But if one doesn't, even such qualified persons as Shunda and Amarka cannot understand it. That makes sense. Prahlad Maharaj continued, I received this knowledge from the great Saint Narada Muni, who is always engaged in devotional service. This knowledge, which is called Bhagavad Dharma, is fully scientific. It is based on logic and philosophy, and it is free from all material contamination. Right? So fully scientific. So some will say it's sentimental. Or, oh, it applied before when Prabhupada was here, but not now. And that, you know, at that time they were saying, oh, okay, well, those things applied, you know, when Prabhupada was in India, when he was a child. So whenever it is, they always just, it's always something before. Like now they say, oh, well, that worked in the 60s. But in the 60s, the same people were saying, oh, it doesn't work then. Oh, that was something before. Right? So the point is fully scientific, so it always applies. Right? That's the whole thing, is the Vedas are current. They're eternal. That means they work now. They worked in the past, they will always work in the future. There's no time when they don't work. So that's the point. And it's based on logic and philosophy, and is free from all material contamination. So there aren't any mistakes. So people who will say that there's mistakes in the Shastra, there's mistakes in what Prabhupada, the Acharyas do, or like this, the mentality there is what the shloka says is hellish. Right? Mahaprasadi Govinde, Nama Brahmani Vaishnave, Swalpa Punya Bhatama Raja. Swalpa Punya. They only have very little piety. That's why they can say this. Someone with piety would never. They would see what greatness is there. Only someone with very minimal piety, they would point out, oh, there's a mistake here. Well, the point is, the greatness that is there. There is no mistake. Okay. So, and free from all material contamination. So people who are materially contaminated can't appreciate that. They'll always find a fault. Right? Hiranyakashipu, Shanda Namarka, like that. The sons of the demons replied, "Dear Pallad, neither you nor we know any teacher or spiritual master other than Shanda Namarka, the sons of Shukracharya. After all, we are children, and they are controllers. For you especially, who always remain within the palace, is very difficult to associate with a great personality." Right? Because they will come into the palace and go back to their own homes within the city. But Prahlad just stays in the palace. So then it's like, how do you meet anybody? Because it's like they haven't met anybody and they go outside the palace. So then, you know, how does he meet? Right? "Dear friend, most gentle one, would you kindly explain how it was possible for you to hear Narada? Kindly dispel our doubts in this regard." Conclusion. One who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of body from the very beginning of life. In other words, from the tender age of childhood to practice the activities of devotional service, giving up all other engagements. Right? So that's the point being made by this chapter. Right? That one should give up all material engagements and just engage in Krishna consciousness. That's the only point. Okay, then the reasons. Hetu. The human form of life affords one a chance to return home back to Godhead. Therefore, every living entity, especially in the human form of life, must engage in the devotional service to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. This devotional service is natural because Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the most beloved, the master of the soul, and the well-wisher of all other living beings. Why mention this? It's natural. Because people will say, no, I'm just trying to be natural. It's not natural to follow all these rules. It's not natural to always do that. You know, it's just natural. You know, you got to be natural. But the point is pointing out, no, this is natural. Like that. Does that make sense? You know, it's like being natural in prison. You know, and saying being outside, that's not natural. Yeah.
But we were born in darkness, ignorance, which means that technically for being ignorant is very natural.
Yes, so but then stay in ignorance and don't claim to be something lofty in that. Leave out the passion and goodness part. You know what I'm saying? People in ignorance, when they play the part like they're in passion or goodness, it doesn't work out very well. You know what I'm saying?
Or being
the guy on crutches and he tries to play the part of Superman, doesn't work out so good, right? So that's the whole point, is that if you're going to really be committed to that, then the point is where were you born? What was your condition? And there's a good chance it wasn't anywhere near what you have in Krishna consciousness. You know what I'm saying? In Krishna consciousness, some sophistication is developed, some other things are developed. But if you go back into one's material position in karma, one doesn't have all that facility. Right? Some individuals, yes. But most individuals, no. So if one actually is pious, he would appreciate. He would see this is natural. Because the point is then you also have to accept that suffering like a dog is also natural for one in the material world. Being frustrated, being cheated at every step, everything going like that, that's natural. Who do you know that everything's successful? We hear about it in stories, but who does it work for? Because the person who you would say, oh, everything's great, you ask them, they'll say it's not. You know? It's like, you know, so much headache. Oh, the rich guy, he must be so happy, and he's sitting there, you know, how are we going to, you know, buying out this company, and then the merger, and then all this and that, and we've been studying it for a few years, and it's projected like this, but now that we've worked it all out and all that, we see that the market's changed, and actually, you know, instead of making, you know, 700, you know, million off of it, we're only going to make 5. Boo-hoo. And he's suffering. Right? So in his mind, he's not happy. Things aren't going great. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. If we want to really be that, then you have to, then the point is that is then the natural. Why are you trying to change it? Why are you trying to gain knowledge? Why are you trying to upgrade it? You're a kid slobbering all over the place. Why is it you're trying to, you know, why are you using a napkin? You know? Why don't you be satisfied with, you know, stuff all over your face? Why do you keep wiping it? You know, kids eat with their fingers, right? You know, then why are you artificially using, you know, forks and spoons? Kids love running around naked. You know, why are you artificially putting on clothes? You know what I'm saying? They don't like to do anything, you know, except play. Why are you artificially controlling all that? So in this way, if they say, then what do they mean by natural? So the bottom line is natural means I want to do what I want to do. That's natural. And if anybody else is dictating what I should do, that's not natural. So it's 100% self-centered. You know what I'm saying? Because the Veda is already accommodating the difference in nature. Right? The 4 Varnas, the 4 Ashrams, and 5 levels of consciousness. There is no social system in the world that can accommodate that. So all it is again, lack of piety. That's all. Right? We're not coming from very pious backgrounds, but if you take shelter of the Guru and Krishna, then that piety develops. But if one doesn't, then one will still act in this way. So that's the whole point. This is natural. It's natural. The affection between the Lord and the living entity, that's natural. Okay. If one's endeavors are directed towards Krishna consciousness, one can surely attain the spiritual platform of self-realization. There's no such benefit from engaging oneself in economic development. Therefore, while in the material existence, a person fully competent to distinguish right from wrong must endeavor to achieve the highest goal of life, as long as the body is stout and strong and is not embarrassed by dwindling. 661, 4-5, right? So that's your reason on why it should be taken up at a young age, right? Because it's something everybody can do, right? It's the natural position. Then, Udaharana. Every human being has a maximum duration of life of 100 years, but 90 of those years are wasted in sleep, play, and invalidity of old age. One whose mind and senses are uncontrolled becomes increasingly attached to family life because of insatiable lusty desires, a very strong illusion. In such a madman's life, the remaining years are also wasted because even during those years, he cannot engage himself in the devotional service. Then the Upanaya, bringing near. My dear sons of demons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, is the original Supersoul, the Father of all living entities. Consequently, there are no impediments to pleasing Him or worshipping Him under any conditions, whether one be a child or an old man. Right? Because it mentioned before, all the difficulties are there. Those aren't actually there. We put them there because of we want something material, so there's obstacles. But developing love for Krishna, serving Krishna, that there is no obstacles. Okay. We get distracted by our so-called obstacles. But being Krishna conscious, there isn't actually. So then, yeah. The relationship between the living entities and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always a fact, and therefore there is no difficulty in pleasing the Lord. For devotees, there are no difficulties in perceiving the Lord either. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, who is infallible and indefatigable, is present in different forms of life. From the inert living beings, such as the plants, to Brahma, the foremost created living being. He is also present in the varieties of material creations and in the material elements, the total material energy and the modes of material nature, sattva-gun, raja-gun, and tamagun, as well as the unmanifested material nature and the false ego. Although he is one, he is present everywhere, and he is also the transcendental supersoul, the cause of all causes, who is present as the observer in the core, in the cores of the hearts of all living entities. He is indicated as that which is pervaded and as the all-pervading supersoul. But because he being everything, he has to accommodate everything, so he is what is pervaded. But it's he who is pervading everything. He can... He's indicated as that which is pervaded and as the all-pervading supersoul, but actually he cannot be indicated. He is changeless and undivided. He is simply perceived as the supreme Satchitananda, eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Being covered by the curtain of the external energy, to the atheist he appears non-existent. 6:6:19-23.
It's 7.
Sorry?
It says 6 everywhere.
Oh, yes, it's 6 everywhere. I should say 7. True.
It's consistent.
Yes, yes. Somehow that matches perfectly. Yeah. Therefore, my dear young friends, born of demons, please act in such a way that the Supreme Lord, who is beyond the conception of material knowledge, will be satisfied. Give up your demoniac nature and act without enmity or duality. Show mercy to all living entities by enlightening them in devotional service, thus becoming their well-wishers. Nothing is unattainable for devotees who have satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the cause of all causes, the original source of everything, right? So we see is that the pratigya is that one who's intelligent should therefore, from the beginning, take up devotional service and give up everything else. And then here, it's talking about what is that devotional service. It's taking that pratigya, you know, to the next step of application. Does that make sense? Important verses. Paladmar said, one who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of body from the very beginning of life, in other words, from the tender age of childhood, to practice the activities of devotional service, giving up all other engagements. The human body is most rarely achieved, and although temporary like other bodies, it is meaningful, because in human life, one can perform devotional service. Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection. Here it says 7. Then 7:6:3. Paladmars continued, my dear friends born of demoniac families, the happiness perceived in reference to the senses, sense objects by contact with the body, can be obtained in any form of life, according to one's past fruit of activities. Right? So any form can get, but it's just depending on what one's past activities. Like you see, the dog who's in the penthouse, who's eating at the table, you know, and wears cashmere clothes. Like that, and then you have the dog in the street. Now, to the dog, technically, it doesn't matter, but it's by karma that he's getting one facility or another. Like, you know, it's not that the dog, you know, just goes, oh, wow, Scottish cashmere, you know, and then next time somebody gives him something, it's, oh, this is Mongolian, this is not so good. Right, you know, he's not doing that. Like, yeah.
He's not doing it, he's thinking.
He's not saying it, but he is thinking it. That could be the advertisement. You think your dog doesn't know. It would probably sell a lot of sweaters, right? Such happiness is automatically attained without endeavor, just as we obtain distress. Right? We don't work for the distress that comes, same way we don't work for the happiness that will come. Right? Our work that we're doing is because we're supposed to work, and we're supposed to work to please the Supreme Lord. So we're not endeavoring for the happiness, we're endeavoring to please the Lord. And whatever happiness and distress we're supposed to get from our past, well, that'll come anyway. Does that make sense? Because we've worked in the past, then we get that at present. What we work now is what is our future. Yes.
So our anxiety is basically in the future, because we can't change the past.
No. Yeah, but we're thinking that what I'm doing now will change the past, but it can't.
No, but it will create a better
future. Yes, it'll create a better future. So those who are smart, then they're austere now, and then they plan for a better future. So those who are smart do that. For most smart, they pray for liberation. Most smart, then they do the same thing for bhakti. And those who are not smart, they think that, no, I'm working now, I'm getting now, I'm controlling things, I've got it all down, you know, like that. That's why there's so many reverses in their life, because if they're so in control, why do things not go the way they want? You know, like that. Because if it was up to the control of the businessman, would he ever go bankrupt? No, but, you know, he goes bankrupt. Why? Because everything's going perfect. He did everything right, and still he's going bankrupt. That's just the previous time. But that he performs his duty, keeps performing his duty, that will give his future results. So if he keeps at it with determination, he's more careful, he does everything properly, then he'll see this good results. They say, oh, because all this came. But yes, the point is that you're following the rules. That's why it works. If you don't follow the rules, it doesn't work. Okay, and they're not afraid that Maya is going to take everything away?
At the end of their life. They're thinking that they can for the duration.
Yeah, and then what will be next life? Then what have they done for next life? You know what I'm saying? You can do that. Why not? It's not recommended. Prahlad Maharaj doesn't recommend it. The point is you're an illusion thinking I'm going to enjoy. But since when does Maya ever afford enjoyment? Sorry?
I guess that condition in the body is in the condition of. He just satisfied his position,
he just satisfied. Then that's nice. Then when he gets enough agyata sukriti, then he'll surrender. This means he's not pious enough. Right. Surrender means piety. Lack of surrender means lack of piety.
Okay.
Yeah. So when his devotional piety increases, then he'll get the faith. So you encourage, you engage them as much as possible, because the point is, the more they engage in devotional service, the closer they come to making that commitment. So you have to figure out what services are they willing to do, and then engage them in those. Chapter 7. What Prahlad learned in the womb. Pratigya. Progress in spiritual life cannot be obstructed by any material condition. Because he had mentioned this in the last life, so now this is going to be explained more. Chapter 7 summarizes questions and answers. The rhetorical questions uttered by Prahlad Maharaj in verses 38 and 39 and 44 to 46 do not come under the study. Adhyaya Prakashika. In this chapter, to dissipate the doubts of his class friends, the sons of the demons, Prahlad Maharaj states how, within the womb of his mother, he had heard from the mouth of Narad Muni, who had instructed him in Bhagavad Dharma. When Hiranyakashipu left his kingdom and went to the mountain known as Mandarachala to execute severe austerities, all the demons scattered. Hiranyakashipu's wife, Kayadu, was pregnant at the time, and the demigods, mistakenly thinking that she carried another demon in her womb, arrested her. Their plan was that as soon as the child took birth, they would kill him. While they were taking Kayadu to the heavenly planets, they met Narad Muni, who stopped them from taking her away, and took her to his ashram until Hiranyakashipu's return. In Narad Muni's ashram, Kayadu prayed for the protection of the baby in her womb, and Narad Muni reassured her and gave her instructions on spiritual knowledge. Taking advantage of those instructions, Prahlad Maharaj, although a small baby within the womb, listened very carefully. The spirit soul is always apart from the material body. there's no change in the spiritual form of the living entity. Any person above the bodily conception of life is pure and can receive transcendental knowledge. This transcendental knowledge is devotional service. And Prahlad Maharaj, while living in the womb of his mother, received instructions in devotional service from Narad Muni. Any person engaged in the service of the Lord through the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master is immediately liberated. And being freed from the clutches of Maya, he is relieved of all ignorance and material desires. The duty of everyone is to take shelter of the Supreme Lord and thus become freed from all material desires, regardless of the material condition in which one is situated. One can achieve this perfection. Right? So all these ideas that, oh, in this situation you can, and that you can't present this, that, or all these different things, no one can do any of those. No, any situation you're in, it can be done. But you have to understand the science so that you can apply it. Right? Point is body, mind, and words is engaged. So take that and engage it. That's the real focus. Right? To be so distracted by the secondary and think that that's what's creating devotional service. Because otherwise we're saying, no, you can't preach like this. You know, people won't listen. You have to use all this modern kind of stuff. Then we're saying that karma generates bhakti rather than bhakti generates itself. Right? That's basically what we're saying. Right? You have to be intelligent to try to understand what the person's saying, but that's individual. Right? That's individual. Because it's very hard to... means that the members of the Vedic culture, you can give some generalizations. Right? Because they follow the Shastra, so there's some certain basic principles that they all understand and follow. You know, we're not the body, we're the soul. You know, all these different things like that. They all accept all this. But when it comes to non-Vedic, then every different culture has a totally different approach, and everybody within each of those cultures has a very different approach. So it becomes very, very individualized. So it becomes strange, right, to say, no, this is the Western mentality. You can say, yes, that they're into sense gratification and modes of passion and ignorance. That you could say in general. But to get down to, but doing it just like this, this is what's going to make it work, it probably won't fit most people. That's the illusion. So here is that, they're saying regardless of the material condition in which one is situated, one can achieve this perfection of being always absorbed in the Lord. So then it's just a matter of educating to show them how that's done. Right, so the emphasis has to be on understanding who is Krishna, the living entity, and that relationship, and how to interact there. That's where the focus is. Not on, you don't have to do this, you don't have to do that, you don't have to do this. That's not the focus. You focus on what should be done. Right? And then all the other things will naturally follow. And then when one has faith, then one can remove what's going to get in the way and apply what is able to be done. So one has to make a distinction between those who have faith and those who don't. Those who don't, then you're going to give it more general in their area. And those who do, then it's a matter of removing what's an obstacle. And if they claim, but we have to have that, we're attached to it, that itself is an obstacle. That's not a... it's not a platform of preaching. It's just makes sense. Devotional service is not dependent on the material activities of austerity, penance, mystic yoga, or piety. Even without such assets, one can achieve devotional service through the mercy of the pure devotee. Right? So you're trying to please the pure devotee, follow the instructions to the best you can. That's what actually gets. These other things... austerity, penance, mystic yoga, piety, they're helpful, but they're not actually going to generate devotional service. It's the mercy of the spiritual master that's going to do it. Summary of verses 1 to 17. Narad Muni rescues Kayadu and instructs Prahlad Maharaj in the womb. 18 to 55. Prahlad Maharaj instructs his friends in Bhagavad Dharma. So I guess before that was only preliminary. We're on chapter 7, right, of all this. But generally, when we think of this, the pastime, it's only just, you know, trying to kill Prahlad, and then the whole part with the pillar, and that each of those, like that one part with Prahlad, it was only one verse.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
Yes.
We see that Prahlad Maharaj, he heard those instructions in the womb, as if he had chosen to hear them.
No, they just happened to be talking, and he decided to take advantage. You know what I'm saying? It means Narad Muni is instructing his mother, and he is also hearing. Mm-hmm. But it's not that Narad Muni doesn't know who he is, so he knows by instructing he'll also hear. So it's a matter of just taking advantage. So that's the point it's making. There is no situation in which devotional service can be stopped. So we see here Prahlad Maharaj is taking advantage of the devotional instruction even while he's in the womb. So it can be done. It's just a matter of whether they want to.
It seems that he actually achieved perfection within the womb, because when he came out, he was already pure devotee.
Yes, yes, yes. So it's just a matter of, because we, here's, there's this, I think it's coming up, isn't it? About the child in the womb and they're praying to the Lord and everything like that.
Yeah.
That we haven't come to that yet. Yeah. So, in that means that those who are more advanced in the process, then they're fully conscious there and can take advantage of it. But much of the time, after they're born, they get distracted by all the, you know, attention they get and all that, and fall back into, you know, like sometimes you see these small children, when they're really small, they're doing amazing Krishna conscious things, you know, like that. But then when they get a little older, then, you know, they don't seem to. So that's the basis. That's what's there. So you have to cultivate that, and that's then what takes you through. Otherwise, then we see is we just figure it'll just automatically happen, but it happens by association. They got to that position from previous association, like that. And so if we continue that, then it will develop at some point. You know, once all the, you know, the playing and all that's over.
Older, the karma hits them.
It's just that the mode of passion comes out. Because when they're young, it's the mode of ignorance that they're dealing with. So they you know, they're not really aware of anything and this and that. But when passion comes up, then all these desires come.
It's
but,
huh?
Yes. Yes, it's that Ayurveda said that, you know, when you're born up to the age of puberty, then kapha is the main thing in the body. Then at puberty, you know, until when that all goes, then that is pitta is the thing. And then as you get older, then vata comes out. So they're small, there's some vata there, that's why they run around so much. But
cute.
Yeah, that's the thing. The kapha makes them cute, and then they run around. And then when the kapha starts to go, then they're less cute. Okay. Okay. Narad Muni, verses 1 to 17. Narad Muni rescues Kayadu and instructs Prahlad Maharaj in the womb. Narad Muni said, although Prahlad Maharaj was born in a family of asuras, Narad Muni is telling the story of how Prahlad Maharaj is going to tell the story about his instructions from Narad Muni. This is far out. Narad Muni, but you know, because they're not then they can deal in that kind of like neutral way, you know, to explain it. Narad Muni said, although Prahlad Maharaj was born in a family of asuras, he was the greatest of all devotees. Having thus been questioned by his class friends, the sons of the asuras, He remembered the words spoken to him by me and replied to his friends as follows. Srila Prabhupada comments. One cannot imagine how the baby in embryo could hear Narada, but this is spiritual life. Progress in spiritual life cannot be obstructed by any material condition. This is called ahaituk yapatihata. Reception of spiritual knowledge is never checked by any material condition. Right? That's why it's generally the tradition that at the seventh month when the child becomes conscious, that therefore then he's read Bhagavatam as a regular thing. Because they are conscious, they can hear. Right? And the more advanced they are, the more they can appreciate it. Like that. And so then, yeah. But, you know, we'll think, oh, then what are they hearing? But no, they hear everything. You know? So, all the stupid stuff you're talking on the phone, and, you know, and all this and that, they hear all that also. They hear it all.
So it means they don't differentiate.
It means if they're smart, they'll differentiate. It means that they'll know that, you know. Yeah. You're worried to differentiate, or if they're judging? They're sitting there going, Mom!
Okay. Morning is Bhagavatam, and then evening is soapy. So.
Yes, yes. You get the full practical, you know. Yes. Prahlad Maharaj continued. Prahlad Maharaj said,
he talks about himself.
Prahlad Maharaj continued.
Otherwise he talks about himself.
Well, Narad Muni talks about himself, so that is a good thing. Yeah, okay. Whatever. Prahlad Maharaj said, when our father Hiranyakashipu went to Mandarachala Mountain to execute severe austerities, in his absence, the demigods headed by King Indra made a severe attempt to subdue all the demons in warfare. Alas, as the serpent is eaten by small ants, so the troublesome Hiranyakashipu, who always inflicted miseries upon all types of people, has now been defeated by the reactions of his own sinful activities. Saying this, the demigods, headed by King Indra, arranged to fight the demons. When the great leaders of the demons, who were being killed one after another, saw the unprecedented exertion of the demigods in fighting, they began to flee, scattering themselves in all directions. Simply to protect their lives, they hastily fled from their homes, wives, children, animals, and household paraphernalia. Paying no heed to all these, the demons simply fled. The victorious demigods plundered the palace of Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, and destroyed everything within it. Then Indra, king of heaven, arrested my mother, the queen, as she was being led away, crying in fear like a kurari captured by a vulture. The great sage Narada, who at that time had no engagement, appeared on the scene and saw her in that condition. Right. Means he always is preaching, but he had no specific place to go or anything, so he just happened to drop in just at that moment. Right? Narad Muni said, O Indra, king of the demigods, this woman is certainly sinless. You should not drag her off in this merciless way. O greatly fortunate one, this chaste woman is the wife of another. You must immediately release her. Right, so she's doing her duties properly as a wife and everything. She's chased her husband, so why are they dragging her off? She's someone else's wife, so they shouldn't deal in this way. King Indra said, in the womb of this woman, the wife of the demon Hiranyakashipu, is the seed of that great demon. Therefore, let her remain in our custody until her child is delivered, and then we shall release her. Right? So they say they don't have any problem with her, they have a problem with the child. Right? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti reveals Indra's intention. This means, having killed the child who is born, I will release her. Narad Muni replied, The child within this woman's womb is faultless and sinless. Indeed, he is a great devotee, a powerful servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, you will not be able to kill him. When the great saint Narad Muni had thus spoken, King Indra, being respectful to Narada's words, immediately released my mother. Because of my being a devotee of the Lord, all the demigods circumambulated her. Then they returned to their celestial kingdom. 10:11, Srila Prabhupada comments. Although King Indra and the other demigods are exalted personalities, they were so obedient to Narad Muni that King Indra immediately accepted Narad Muni's words concerning Prahlad Maharaj. This is called understanding by the parampara system. Indra, so that's the point, is one may be very great, intelligent and everything, but if one's accepted the spiritual master, accepted the spiritual authority, then one accepts. Not that, oh, I'm a great person, I do whatever I want. No, it's a matter of, it's been established by Guru Sadhu and Shastra, then that's what we follow. That's what we do. Indra and the demigods did not know that a great devotee was in the womb of Kayadu, the wife of Hiranyakashipu. But they accepted the authoritative statements of Narad Muni and immediately offered their respects to the devotee by circumambulating the woman in whose womb he was living. To understand God and the devotee by the parampara system is the process of knowledge. Right? So that's how you know them. You can't know, as we said before, by logic. So those who will apply their own intelligence, their own logic, their own experience, and then from that try to understand the Lord, and then come up short by saying that there's some fault here, then what is the point? They can't know. Only through the parampara they can know. So what Prabhupada says, that's how you'll know what's happening. There's no need to speculate about God and his devotee. One should accept the statements of a bona fide devotee and thus try to understand. Prahlad Maharaj continued, the great saint Narad Muni brought my mother to his ashram and assured her of all protection, saying, my dear child, please remain at my ashram until the arrival of your husband. After accepting the instructions of Devarshi Narada, my mother stayed in his care without fear from any direction, as long as my father, the king of the Daityas, had not become freed from his severe austerities. Right? So the father is not there. So therefore so much trouble is happening. So he just said, you stay at the ashram here, you'll be safe here. Until the husband comes, Hiranyakashipu will come, take her, go back to his kingdom, and then like that. So it's not that he saved her from Indra and the demigods and then just let her go on her own. No, he's taken care of properly. Sorry?
It was a interesting scenario.
It's an ashram, other people live there.
Spending some time in Brahmacharya.
No, but you have to understand, Lord Brahma, Narad Muni, many of these great personalities, they would not be able to lead kirtan or give class or sometimes even visit temples in our society today. Like that. Yeah, so that's why we have to hear from authority. Otherwise we come up with all kinds of mundane concepts.
Yes. I was also thinking that she didn't become a full-time devotee. You know, she stayed there and she went back to her husband, although she knew his position.
Yeah, but the point is the wife and the husband are connected. You know, so then they do. He performs his duties properly as a husband; she does wife. So, but now, you know, the spiritual understanding and all that—that's another thing. So those activities can go on. That's the point: is that nothing can get in the way of the spiritual. And we'll many times say, oh, all these things get in the way, but not actually. It's we make it that, no, it's because if my situation is good, I can be Krishna conscious. If it's bad, I can't be Krishna conscious. But actually, it's any situation, you can be Krishna conscious. So these are the duties that are engaged. So as demons, then they're just using them for their own purpose. But they still are following the proper duties in that. So it can be, as mentioned, I think it's some other place, then Prahlad Maharaj remembered these things, you know, because he was more developed, more advanced. But the sons of the demons, even though they accepted all these things, they forgot them. So it must be also that Kayadu also forgot, you know, and just goes back into her own duties and everything like that. Does that make sense? Yeah, because technically what situation you're in doesn't matter. You can be Krishna conscious. It doesn't mean it'll be nice, but you can be Krishna conscious.
Because usually what we do is we always blame it on the situation. I can't do this, I can't do that.
Yeah, of course.
Because it's hot and it's the...
Yeah, that's it. It's too hot, and then we go to Calcutta and go to a sauna, right? Yeah. Well, I say, yo, why don't you come to India, you know, and all the Finns say, it's too hot and this and that. And then I remember we were in a sauna, and somebody had been there before. It was a, you know, whatever it is, others had used it. And they had set the temperature at 64 degrees, you know? And I'm not comfortable with it, but I'm less uncomfortable with it than if it had been up to the standard temperature. You know? And they couldn't figure out how to change it until I think the next day. Then they figured out how to, you know, crank it up to 100, you know, like that. So, you know, it's like that. They're comfortable in 100 degrees. But, you know, if it's 40 over here in India, they're going to die. You know, how that works, I have no idea.
But, your circumstances here, you're forced to circumstance.
But it's the same circumstance.
But it's constant.
Have you ever been in a sauna with a Finnish person?
No.
Yeah, so then they go in there and the hotter it is, throwing water on the thing, you know, it's like that. Your skin's peeling off and they've got big grins on their face, you know, it's like that. So it's, you know, as far as you're concerned there, it is, you know, constant. It is, you know, like that. Yeah.
If you let it snow, they will jump up.
That's another thing. We don't even want to get into that side of it. Yes. And then there's the beating. Right? It's just like, you know, why do you need material miseries? You just go into the sauna. Right? You know? Okay. Okay, thus she stayed at Narad Muni's ashram, where she rendered service unto Narad Muni with great devotion. Srila Prabhupada comments. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 9.19.17, Matra Svasra Duhrita Va Navivikta Sano Bhavet Balaban Indriya Gramo Vidvamsham Api Karshati. One should not remain in a secluded place with a woman, even one's mother, sister, or daughter. Nonetheless, although one is strictly prohibited from staying with a woman in a secluded place, Narad Muni gave shelter to Prahlad Maharaj's young mother, who rendered service to him with great devotion and faith. Does this mean that Narad Muni transgressed the Vedic injunctions? Certainly he did not. Sense injunctions are intended for mundane creatures, but Narad Muni is transcendental to mundane categories. Narad Muni is a great saint and is transcendentally situated. Therefore, although he was a young man, he could give shelter to a young woman and accept her service. Haridas Thakur also spoke with a young woman, a prostitute, in the dead of night, but the woman could not deviate his mind. Instead, she became a Vaishnavi, a pure devotee by the benediction of Haridas Thakur. Ordinary persons, however, should not imitate such highly elevated devotees. Ordinary persons must strictly observe the rules and regulations by staying aloof from the association of women. No one should imitate Narad Muni or Haridas Thakur. It is said, Vaishnavara Kriya Mudra Vigye Na Bhujiya. Even a man is very advanced in learning. He cannot understand the behavior of a Vaishnava. Anyone can take shelter of a pure Vaishnava without fear. Therefore, in the previous verse, it has been distinctly said, Devar Sher Antike Sakuto Bhaya. Kayadu, the mother of Prahlad Maharaj, stayed under the protection of Narad Muni without fear from any direction. Similarly, Narad Muni, in his transcendental position, always stayed with the young woman without fear of deviation. Narad Muni, Haridas Thakur, and similar acharyas, especially empowered to broadcast the glories of the Lord, cannot be brought down to the material platform.
Therefore, one is strictly prohibited to think that the Acharya is an ordinary human being. Guru Shu Nara Mati. So, they're on the transcendental platform, so anything that they see is always in connection with Krishna, in service to Krishna. Right? And so, therefore, there can't be any deviation. Because they don't see anything material anyway. Right? We see the material world. They don't see the material world. Yes? Yes, yes, yes. Means that how when they look at what we call the material energy, they only see the Lord's energy and how to engage in Krishna's service. Does that make sense? So there's no distinction there. So it's the same thing, because if we're very strict on the principle and saying, you know, like this and that, okay, nice. But the principle applies. The point is this: the man has his wife. Why is he sitting and chatting so happily with other ladies? Right? There's the idea, if you're a grihastha, you can talk to any lady. But that's not the rule. No, it means you're a grihastha, you can talk to your wife. You understand? You can't talk to others. Like that. So the whole point is there, if you see things in connection with Krishna, then where's the problem? But if you don't, then difficulties come up. So the rules are there to make sure that nothing goes wrong. So unqualified people don't do something weird. Does that make sense? Unqualified people don't do something weird. Unqualified people have a tendency to do things weird. Yeah, so then the rules are there to keep them from being weird. No, another one. The whole scene. Never seen this one. Yeah, because normally the ones around here look like the Bengal cats. But these ones don't. Oh no, there's a little bit of Bengal in there. They're not. They're what? It's not that they don't expect some facility or attention, just that it's on their terms. Okay. Okay. Vlad Maharaj continued, Narad Muni delivered his instructions both to me, who was within the womb, and to my mother, who was engaged in rendering him service. Because he is naturally extremely kind to the fallen souls, being in a transcendental position, he gave instruction on religion and transcendental knowledge. These instructions were free from all material contamination. Because of the long duration of time that had passed, and because of her being a woman and therefore less intelligent, my mother has forgotten all those instructions. But the great sage Narad Muni blessed me, and therefore I could not forget them. Hmm. Oh, that's the other one. Looking for this one.
Why he didn't bless her?
I guess she wasn't
she was doing service with devotion.
Yes, and then after that, I guess she forgot all about that. Well, Prahlad didn't, so then he got the blessing.
Oh, so they both got the blessings at the same time, but then she forgot and Prahlad got them again.
Well, it appears that she's doing, because, you know, the circumstances, naturally, they're, you know, pious and all that. I mean, in other words, how do you become the wife of the biggest demon in the universe who has all the facilities that even Indra doesn't have? You have to be a pious person. Still, to be on that level of being a demon, there has to be sufficient piety to follow it. It's just, the difference is they tend to be atheistic. Right? So here is that they do respect the Brahmins and everything like that, so she may be looking at him as that way, rather than as transcendental. So he's a sage, so they respect and deal properly and everything like that. Does that make sense?
also he saved her, so she's grateful.
Yes, yes. He saved her, she's grateful. You know, you're going to do something. You can't sit around and do nothing. So you have to do something, right? And so then, like that, she keeps busy. And so, but somehow or another, it appears that, you know, there's going to be something that she's heard this and that, and that. It appears that Prahlad Maharaj, he took it seriously on the transcendental platform while she didn't. Therefore, he got the blessings, and so he didn't forget, and she not having those blessings, then with time forgot. Not that she hasn't rendered service, not that she hasn't heard these things. It just means it'll come back later. You've got the secret, it'll come later. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is it the same principle of yekam mantra patyante?
Yes, as you surrender, like that. Like Prabhu said, she's rendering service, she's doing all kinds of nice things because he's dealt properly with her, she's reciprocating, she's hearing all these transcendental things. So it's not that she's an impious person. She's a properly chaste wife, so she does things nicely. But the point is it may be that she's heard all these transcendental instructions, but they don't have as much meaning to her. You know, she'll hear them, they sound proper, they sound right, they sound good, but she may be looking at it from the religious point of view rather than from Dharma rather than Sad-Dharma. While Prahlad Maharaj is seeing it from the platform of Sad-Dharma, so he gets the blessing. It's not that she couldn't have gotten the blessing, it's just that she's not. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But less intelligent means that.
Unable to
discriminate between spiritual and material. That's real intelligence. See, the Shastra is not saying that women are less intelligent on the platform of material intelligence. Right? Because, you know, as we saw the previous in the morning, it says that the whole world is all about pleasing the women. It means if you ask the men, it's all about them, but it's all about the women. But they're so intelligent that that's not known. You understand? The super rich families in the world, do you hear anything about them? Any news? Anything? Huh? Maybe, but then how much do you know about them? No, okay. But is that just by chance that happens? That's by their arrangement. Not so much hiding, it's just why do others have to know? You catch that? Yeah, so that's the whole point. So it's there. So we're not talking about less intelligent on that platform. We're talking about the distinction between matter and spirit. Right? Because the facility for identifying with the material energy and its benefits is so much greater in the feminine form. Right? So in that form, the living entity tends to not look at the spiritual. Okay? Now, if we say, now on the same side, oh, but why are they just saying this about the women? Okay? But what is the position that they talk about of the men who don't make the distinction? What are they called? That's another thing. Dancing dogs, yeah, that'll work. But so what is, what? Okay, and then the other is mudha, which means donkey. Right? Okay, which is, how you say, on social status, the higher and lower position. Less intelligent, or a donkey, or a dog? Huh? Dog, donkey are on the bottom. Less intelligence is above that. So when we put it into that context, the women still come out on top. So one is only intelligent when one takes up Krishna consciousness. That's the only time. If you're not Krishna conscious, then you're foolish. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Actually, Prabhupada says in one of the purports that she asked for a benediction. But till the time Hiranyakashipu doesn't come, she doesn't give birth to Prahlad Maharaj. So,
that was her benediction.
She asked for a benediction from Narada Muni.
Okay.
Because here also it is mentioned, for the safety of the embryo, she has already, demigods are attacking.
Right.
So she was all the time thinking about Hiranyakashipu, because of which the instructions are not sinking. It's something
Yes, can be. That's what we're saying, is that she doesn't have as much focus on these things. She's doing things because it's pious. Women are naturally pious. Because piety gives good results. Ladies like good results. You know, so therefore being pious is much more natural for the ladies. The men, if they're intellectually convinced it's good, then they'll take it up. Or if they've been in good association, you know, who are doing it, then they'll pick it up. You know, so. But Prahlad Maharaj, he's not asking for anything material. So therefore he's getting the blessings that he'll be able to use it.
When both men and women, they accept Krishna consciousness, so the less intelligent women, they cannot distinguish between the intricacies of philosophy as such. Can you say that?
Yeah, you could say it's just like, oh, we're not the body, Prabhu. Where's the intelligence in that? Whoever said we are the body.
But both genders.
That's less intelligent. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is that that's the lack of discrimination. They can't tell what is spiritual and what's material. Right? It's like this. You're saying we're not the body, and then because, so we don't have to follow the rules given by the Vedas. And we can therefore break all those rules and do what we want. You know what I'm saying? And then try to claim that that's being spiritual because we're not the body. But the point is, the body is the body, and so it has, it, as a tool, it has certain things it can do. Right? Does that make sense? But it doesn't mean that one can't, like it says there, when he's saying about being non-envious and being equal to all living entities, and therefore trying to benefit them by giving Krishna consciousness, that everybody can do. But how the women will give Krishna consciousness, how the men, there may be a difference in the approach. You know, so that's why then there's the culture, because there's certain things that the women, being based on the principle of the mind, therefore the mode of goodness, the stability, the other things like that, the cleanliness, the refinement is more comfortable for them. So those kind of environments are the kind of environments that they'll be comfortable to be in for the activities, right? Or at least based on a relationship, so therefore there may be hardships, but because of the relationships it can be dealt with. Right? Does that make sense? Well, the men will look at it more mechanistically and try to see the analysis of things like that. And so they can work in environments that are not necessarily nice. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
It's interesting how I can break any Vedic rule that's there, but it's not about destroying my own body, which runs and stays alive according to the rules which were initially made.
Yes, yes. No, the point is it's going to still function the same way. The needs, the desires, everything's going to be the same. You know. Otherwise, if we're not the body, Prabhu, then why do you have to deal more carefully with the women? Those same women who expect to be equal with the men, they expect it to be dealt with not like men, but like women. You know, I remember one lady, same sentence she's talking about. She's talking about how, you know, all this stuff, you know, why are they dealing with me differently, like this and that, and, you know, I can do all the same things to the man, like this and that. That, you know, these men, they're not very well behaved. The other day I was on the bus and, you know, nobody would get up and give me a seat. Literally, it was the same sentence. You know, so why they should be getting and giving this seat, but at the same time you're upset that they're dealing with it because you're a woman. So that's less intelligent. You know, the point is no, the feminine nature is there. If you're intelligent, you know what that is, and then you use that to advantage in Krishna consciousness. You know what I'm saying? Because as we said, the feminine has its strengths and weaknesses, the masculine has its strengths and weaknesses. So therefore, each has whatever they have. So you follow the one, and, you know, in other words, work to your strengths and be careful about the weaknesses. Does that make sense? Well, it's another thing. Yeah. Okay. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, "But why do we not see bhakti in your mother?" Then he says, "Because she was a woman, and because a long time passed, she forgot." Then the question, "But since you were a child and a long time also passed for you, why did you not forget?" Then he says, "I obtained the mercy of Narada. Because she did not receive his mercy, the influence of time and her being a woman were stronger." Right? So if she got the blessing, these things wouldn't be. You understand? Because devotion goes beyond. There is no condition, there is no situations that it can't apply. So in other words, there must have been a lack of desire there to pursue this transcendental. Therefore, then it worked out that way. Does that make sense? So one has that desire, then one goes beyond that. It doesn't affect. Okay. In Bhagavad Gita 9:32, the Lord says, "Mam hi partha vyavas sritya ye pi syu papayonayaha striyo vaishyas tata shudras te pi yanti param gatim." O son of Prita, those who take shelter in me, though they be low-born, women, vaishyas, merchants, or shudras, workers, can approach the supreme destination. Right? So in this, they're only going to pick out women. Right? What about low-born? What about vaishyas? What about shudras? That. Well, so women and shudras, then that will be, a big gundagol will be made, right? But low-born and vaishyas, no one's going to bother. So that's the whole thing is that these situations are not ideal because the nature is they will be tend to be more absorbed in the material energy. That's the problem with it. Does that make sense? So that's why they're considered not ideal birth. Because then there's so many things that need to be there, all in arrangements in the material energy. When that's all arranged, then things can go perfectly. Does that make sense? You have to rate for the right moment, the right this, the right that, and all that. And, you know, what happens if they don't show up? So that's the difficulty. Well, then your Brahmas and Kshatriyas, they have to, whatever situation is there, deal with it and make things happen. That's the nature. So that's why that's considered better. But if one's a devotee, then none of this matters. It doesn't mean that the duties change. It just means that now you can see that in connection with Krishna. So then there's no problem. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. The word papayoni refers to those who are less than shudras. But even though a woman may not be a papayoni, because of being less intelligent, she sometimes forgets devotional instructions. For those who are strong, but religious things, you know, depends if they're, then those they don't forget. You know, something that conversation you had 10 years ago where you said, yeah, you're going to do this and not do that, 20, you know, they'll go, but you said this, you don't even remember the thing, right? No, right? like that. So it's the devotional part that's what may get lost, not the instruction part. Right? For those who are strong enough, however, there is no question of forgetting. Women are generally attached to material enjoyment, and because of this tendency, they sometimes forget devotional instruction. It says sometimes, they may, but doesn't have to. But if even a woman practices devotional service strictly, according to the rules and regulations, the statement by the Lord Himself that she can return to Godhead, te pi yanti param gatim, is not at all astonishing. Right? Because one may say, but birth is not as ideal, so how is it they're going back to Godhead? Because if you surrender to Krishna and follow His instructions nicely, you know, with that sincerity, then what's so wonderful about it? Right? Because the Lord's mercy is what is the wonderful aspect. So because of His mercy, it doesn't matter who you are, then you can be qualified. And without that mercy, it doesn't matter who you are, you can't understand the Lord. So that's the whole point, is the Lord's mercy, that's how you can understand. Does that make sense? So that's the point that we should all be happy about, not going, hey, why are they... No. Especially when low born generally means we're still looking up. A nishada or a chandala is the lowest of the nixes, right? But when one devotee asked Prabhupada, you know, well, what are we, Prabhupada? He said, nixes of nixes. So that's lower. So for us, even, you know, a chandala is quite respectable, right? One must take shelter of the Lord and rigidly follow the rules and regulations. Then, regardless of what one is, one will return home, back to Godhead. Prahlad Maharaj's mother was more concerned with protecting the child in the womb and was very anxious to see her husband return. Therefore, she could not consider very seriously the sublime instructions of Narad Muni. Right? So, because he's distracted by these things, that's why. But if she had been also very focused, she would have gotten the same position, the same blessings. Prahlad Maharaj continued, "My dear friends, if you can place your faith in my words, simply by that faith you can also understand transcendental knowledge, just like me, although you are small children. Similarly, a woman can also understand transcendental knowledge and know what is spirit and what is matter." Right? So that's the point. What is spirit, what's matter? That's the point to discern. Does that make sense? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Bhayat indicates blessings. No, Bhuyat indicates blessings. He desires that they also obtain the mercy of Narada present in him as a cause of bhakti. If you have faith in my words, then you may have intelligence fixed in the Lord or prema, arising from bhakti, which arises from mercy of the great devotee. This will be understood later in the text. Right? So he has the mercy of Narad Muni. They have the faith in his words, they'll also get that same mercy. Right? Because you're taking shelter of Narad Muni's instructions, therefore you'll get the benefit. That's why, that's the point of the Founder Acharya. We take shelter of the Founder Acharya's instructions. No matter who we are, we get that benefit. Okay. So. Verses 18 to 55. Prahlad Maharaj instructs his friends in Bhagavad Dharma. In verses 18 to 55, Prahlad Maharaj explains that the duty of everyone is to take shelter of the Supreme Lord and thus become free from all material desires. Regardless of the material condition in which one is situated, one can achieve this perfection through the mercy of a pure devotee. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, "Some devotees desiring liberation require knowledge. That is given now in 10 verses, 18 to 27. Prahlad Maharaj continued, right? So here we could say either desiring liberation means that's actually there. They want to be freed from the material entanglement. So the point is what he's going to give now in these 10 verses, right, is going to be what frees you from material contamination. Now it should be that we're just using that to serve the Lord. Because in that kind of condition, it's easier to serve the Lord, better to serve the Lord. But one could also have that desire for liberation, and this is still the same knowledge that would be used. Does that make sense? Like that. So that's not the ideal, but that's what we can do. Prahlad Maharaj continued, "Just as the fruits and flowers of a tree in due course of time undergo six changes, birth, existence, growth, transformation, dwindling, and then death. The material body, which is obtained by the spirit soul under different circumstances, undergoes similar changes. However, there are no such changes for the spirit soul." Right? So, giving the example of the fruit, because the fruit is a result of the, you know, the tree, the endeavor of the tree. So, the same way as the living entity, by their endeavor, their interest in the material activities, they get a fruit from that, and that's the particular body they have. So just as the fruit then, is birth, existence, growth, transformation, dwindling, and then death. So in the same way, then the fruit of their karma has the same thing. Right? But the soul does not undergo any of these transformations. Just the soul identifies with it because it thinks that's where they'll gain their happiness. But the problem is, as soon as you try to get your happiness there, that's where your distress starts. Right? So that's the whole point, is happiness will be gained in connection with Krishna. As soon as you try to separate it, then we get the other. Yes?
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupāda ki.